Advanced analytics is probably one of the biggest buzzwords of this decade, from companies like Google and Facebook, who take billions of pieces of data to compile detailed portraits of their users' likes and interests, to baseball teams who are developing proprietary algorithms to track which player is the best value in the market. Big data is big business. It's also increasingly being used in law enforcement, including here in the Valley. Recently, the Fresno Police Department made national headlines in the Washington Post thanks to its suite of data analytics, which it uses to gain insight into crime. And the implications of this technology have also raised concerns by some group over civil liberties. Here to tell us more about how the Fresno police use this technology, we have with us today Sergeant Stephen Castro, who is the Crime Center Supervisor and oversees the Real Time Crime Center. Sergeant Castro, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
We're really talking about a host of different technologies that all come together into this real-time crime center. Is this some, give us a picture of it. Are there big monitors and all of a sudden this is something like out of a science fiction movie, or how does it work?
Sure. So probably not science fiction anymore, but it's a center with monitors across the walls. We brought many disparate systems into one center. So before we had, you know, our video policing operations located with our communications center, and Chief wanted to build this center in order to provide officers that are responding to emergency calls for service with information that they didn't have access to before. So now we brought all those technologies into one center. We're staffing it with personnel, many officers, retired officers, so that they can distill all of this information and then just provide the responding officers with the information they need to best handle that call.
So the department's had these cameras for over 10 years now on city streetlights and things like that. What else goes into this crime center in terms of the data?
Sure. So in the real-time crime center, the operators have access to our video policing cameras that you mentioned. We also have access to our traffic operations cameras. Those are not recorded cameras, but if an incident occurs, our operators in the center can access those cameras, you know, if we're looking for a particular vehicle or suspect, et cetera. We do have access to all of the camera system that Fresno Unified School District utilizes. So we have all of their campuses, their maps. So in the event that we have some type of major incident at a school, an operator can then access those cameras and provide the responding officers with information on what they're seeing and where that's located. So with regard to video, that's what we currently have in the center. And in the future, we'd like to expand that a little further, even with some private cameras, if businesses would like to partner with us and provide us live feeds of their video, you know, of their parking lots, et cetera, we may pursue that. In addition, we have access to all of our typical law enforcement systems, our records management system, our computer-aided dispatch system. We have a system in place called CopLink that they have access to. We've had that for a while. And essentially what that does is it provides all of the Fresno Police Department's records with the Fresno County Sheriff's Department records. And they provide RMS service for basically the majority of all of the other law enforcement agencies in the county. So all of that information is merged, and there are some analytical tools built into that. So if we are searching for a vehicle or a person, we can query that by, you know, model ranges and color ranges and things of that nature in order to help identify suspects in crime. We have tested several different systems for the center, one of which is getting the most notoriety. That's the Beware product by Entrato. We have tested some social media monitoring systems, license plate reader systems, et cetera.
Now, obviously, a law enforcement agency, I don't think listeners would be surprised to learn that law enforcement looks at social media, public posts and things like that. But what you're talking about is the department exploring ways to mine that data differently?
Yeah, not so much mine it differently. However, it brings all of those public social media posts into one platform so that one example that we've explored is using a social media monitoring system to monitor all public social media posts around schools. And anytime there's a post, you know, that matches any of the keywords that we can enter, you know, maybe fight, gun, shoot, kill, et cetera, those types of words, it will alert us. So then someone in the center can then take a look at that post. Okay, is it, you know, just somebody talking about hunting, or is it somebody talking about doing something at a school? You know, so that it's still distilled by a live person, but we can better respond to those types of incidents.
Now, there are groups out there who hear what you're talking about here, especially in regards to the social media data collection. And even though this is publicly posted information that people post on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and things like that, have concerns about law enforcement's use of that and the ability to discern whether that is a legitimate issue or a false positive. How are you, to Chief Dyer's satisfaction, to your department's satisfaction, to legal satisfaction, addressing those issues of civil liberties?
Well, at this point, we're not necessarily addressing those issues because currently we don't have access to a social media monitor. We only did testing. We identified the ones we liked. So the next step for us would be to go to council, present all of the facts surrounding social media monitoring. But the key to all of this is it's just another source of information. It still has to be viewed, vetted, and distilled by a person. So many of these may be false positives, but someone's looked at it and made that determination, or it may be something that we should look into further. You know, you made the point, these are all public posts, so, you know, they would be available and viewable by anyone with access to the internet.
So walk us through exactly how this might be used in real life. Are you talking about using this in a proactive sense? It sounds like it a little bit when you're talking about monitoring what might be posted around a school to know if you have a situation with a threat like that. Or is it being used most typically in responding to a call for service?
Well, those are things that we will need to work through. Typically, all the systems are a little bit different. All of the systems we tested monitor, you know, different social media networks. So they're all a little different in that regard. But primarily, the way this is used is you can set up, you know, your geofences, your areas that you want this monitor to look at. And you can monitor for, you know, any potential criminal activity, things of that nature. Now, the other thing you can do it for is a live type of feed, where if you have an incident that is occurring, you can then monitor that area for any public posts that are coming up. You know, maybe you have civil unrest, or you have something of that nature going on, and so maybe you're looking for the post, okay, you know, when they're trying to rally everybody to go, you know, loot and burn buildings or things of that nature.
Or if you have a party that's out of control or something like that and calls to service, and you could see things like that?
Sure, sure. And the other interesting thing about all of this, you know, with the exception of Beware, is all of these services are primarily marketed towards, you know, companies. These are widely used throughout the corporate world, and only now is law enforcement also, you know, subscribing to these exact same services. So,
you've been with the force for around two decades. You've seen a lot change when it comes to technology. Now you're in charge of this suite of technologies for the department. When you're on a call for service, there's a limited time. The department wants to respond quickly. You're going through a lot of information now. How does that, what you're doing now, compare to what you did maybe 20 years ago in a situation like that, where you have a call for a situation of domestic violence, someone has a gun or a knife, and you're concerned about someone's safety?
Sure. So, you know, in the past, you know, you had a small, you know, when I started, you had a small screen in your car. It was very slow, and you would get just the basics of the call. So it might be, hey, respond to this address regarding a domestic violence incident, and maybe a few basic details that the reporting party provided, and then you figure out the rest when you get there. Now, especially with the real-time crime center, we can get additional information so that maybe by the time the officers arrive, they actually know or have a good idea of who the parties are, maybe any prior domestic violence history. Are there any restraining orders that are active on anyone involved? And so they can arrive to that call knowing that information.
Is it any replacement for good old-fashioned police knowledge? You know kind of some of the people that you see frequently and have encounters with frequently. Is there any replacing, with big data, replacing traditional police techniques, things like that?
I don't believe so. I believe it just augments good police work.
And there's another part that we haven't talked about today. In fact, the Fresno Unified School Board is going to be asked this week to vote on an approval to expand the ShotSpotter system to school campuses throughout the district. ShotSpotter's been used for about the last, 9 months or so with the department. How does that work and how does that fit into this system?
Okay, so we also have access to the ShotSpotter system in the center. The way the ShotSpotter system...
Yeah, what is ShotSpotter?
Okay, so yeah. I'm sorry. So ShotSpotter is currently covering about 3 square miles of the city. And it uses acoustical sensors placed throughout that 3 square miles. And whenever 3 of those sensors or more detect gunfire or what sounds like gunfire, it will send that information to ShotSpotter. Someone at ShotSpotter will review that information and then return the results to us. And this all takes place in just a matter of seconds. And then they determine, is it gunfire? Is it possibly gunfire? Could it have been a backfire or fireworks, et cetera? Were there multiple shots, et cetera? So they return that information to us along with a map that shows us the location where it determined these shots took place. From that point, in our communication center, we will create an event for officers to respond to that area.
And so you're triangulating the data points. The idea then is to expand this beyond this 3 mile area right now?
Yeah, my understanding is that if we were to partner with Fresno Unified on this, we would expand that by an additional square mile, and that would be contiguous with the 3 square miles we already have.
So one of the other things about big data is both in the software industry and sports, also I imagine in law enforcement, is how do you analyze what's working? And I'm curious, how does the department determine the effectiveness of some of these new things? Let's start with ShotSpotter since we just talked about that. How is that working and how do you determine that this is actually a viable use of taxpayer money?
Sure. So with ShotSpotter, I can tell you the feedback we're getting, from our field personnel is that, hey, this system not only works, but it's highly accurate. I believe over New Year's Eve, I believe Chief did a press conference on this, but many of those shots fired incidents were then followed up on with search warrants served, et cetera, on some of these places. And, illegal guns were taken out of people's possession, et cetera, based on that information. So many of these shots fired incidents, they go unreported. They can be in high crime areas where people are either just used to it or they don't want to get involved. And now if this occurs in a ShotSpotter area, now we know we can respond. And, if we had, ShotSpotter in some of our prior cases, who knows? It could have saved a life where, maybe a victim was down and we didn't know, or we didn't know the location. All we know is the general area where shots were fired, but now we can specifically respond to an area and check for victims.
And likewise with the other suite of tools that you have in the minute we have left here, how are those working so far? You've had this real-time crime center for a little while now. How do you determine what's working?
We have, and what we have just incorporated into our center is a system for all of the operators to gauge the effectiveness on all of the systems that are available to them on a daily basis. So now we're getting a report every day and a weekly report. It's all automated. It includes all of the systems available, how many times those systems were accessed, and their effectiveness. So now we're starting to be able to gauge the effectiveness of all of these systems.
Sergeant Stephen Castro with the Fresno Police Department. He's in charge of the Real-Time Crime Center project for Chief Jerry Dyer and is the Crime Center Supervisor. Sergeant Castro, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure, thank you.